How's it going, everybody? And welcome to the first Troy Talk podcast episode in about a year. It's been that long, since about July, that I have brought out the microphone, that I have set up the programs, that I really have had anything worth talking about, to be honest with you. With USC being so bad this past football season, the USC basketball season being pretty bad, I guess I could have talked about March Madness, but I was in the middle of school this past year, first year of medical school. Has not been easy to find some time to, you know, hash out a podcast, and whatever free time I do have, it's, you know, usually done sleeping or watching TV and resting. But I do have some free time now. I'm in the middle of summer. My summer vacation, I have about a month left of that. About a month left of that. It's been very, very nice, and I've got to watch a lot of sports, just catch up on some sleep, catch up on just seeing some friends, family, and it's been great, and I really can't complain about it. But I thought this would be a perfect time to bring the podcast back out, even if it's for an episode. The NBA draft just happened, and I was going to go give my opinions on every team's draft picks. I mean, not all of them, most of them, at least ones that I would have opinions on, as I, you know, I watch a decent amount of college basketball, or at least keep up with a decent amount of college basketball, to where I know most of the names on the board. So, just in case you were wondering what I thought about them, I'm going to give a lot of opinions on the Lakers, why I'm happy with what they did, what I would have changed, and then basically every other team if have an interest in any of the other teams or any of the other players. So, stay tuned for that. I guess we'll go ahead and get started. So the first team that we have is the Atlanta Hawks. They kind of did something weird with their pick. They traded their eighth pick, I believe, eighth and 11th pick to the Pelicans for the fourth pick, which used to be the Lakers' fourth pick, but they traded it to the Pelicans for the Anthony Davis deal. So it kind of got passed around a little bit. But the Hawks ended up taking DeAndre Hunter, who is a power forward, small forward out of Virginia. A really, really good player. A solid player. I'm not sure I would have taken him at fourth overall here. I just don't think his ceiling is super high, but his floor is very high. He's a great shooter. He's athletic. But he's, you know, a little undersized, I guess you would say, for a power forward. 6'8", not super tall. And he kind of seemed, I don't want to say inconsistent, but he was kind of quiet. He was obviously very successful when it mattered, and they won the NCAA tournament, but there were a lot of games where he kind of just disappeared and didn't really do much. And is that really what you want to pick with your fourth pick? I don't know. So I had a little bit of a qualm with that, but other than that, you know, he's a good player. I think he's a very good college player. I'm not sure how he's going to translate into the NBA. Their other pick they had in the first round, which was 10th overall, was Cam Reddish out of Duke. He's a small forward. A very intriguing and polarizing prospect in this draft. I think a lot of people were like, he's either, you know, the 20th pick or he's a 8th to 10th pick. And obviously Atlanta thought he was a 10th pick. Great shooter, has a lot of potential to be a good scorer for whatever team drafts him or whatever team he ends up with. Maybe he doesn't stay with the Hawks, who knows. But he also had another tendency to kind of disappear in games. And his shooting wasn't as good in college as it is, his talent would indicate. He struggled a little bit from 3-point land, and if he can't hone that in, and you know, it's a further back with the NBA and it's better defense. So if he can't figure that out, him at the 10th pick is kind of a waste of a pick. And I think they have the Hawks kind of, I don't want to say they reached on two picks, but I'm not exactly thrilled if I would be a Hawks fan with what they got out of this, especially two top 10 picks. Like, you got to do better than that, I think. Next is the Brooklyn Nets. The only pick I can see of any interest, really, is Jalen Hands out of UCLA. He's a point guard with the 56th overall, so basically the end of the second round. Interesting prospect. He's super athletic. I think he had like a 41-inch vertical leap. Pretty good shooter, so like in theory it sounds like a really good pick, but he had a lot of turnovers, and his size is basically, he's a point guard, he's nothing else. And if you have a point guard that turns the ball over constantly, even though he does, you know, dish out a lot of assists, I think he led the Pac-12 this past season, if you have a point guard that turns the ball over constantly, you're not going to get a lot of playing time. That's just the fact of the matter. There are people who you know, get away with not being an athletic point guard, but they are so smart with the ball. You know, your Tony Parkers, your Juan Baez, those kind of people that just know how to play the point guard position. And I'm not sure if Jalen Hands is just more of an athlete in a basketball player's body kind of thing. Or he does. What I'm trying to say is that his basketball ability to play the game is kind of what's lacking. But I guess that's why he's the end of the second round. But he's an intriguing prospect nonetheless. All right, next is Boston. Boston had a very interesting draft. I liked some of it and I disliked some of it. So their first pick, 14th overall, Romeo Langford out of Indiana, small forward, shooting guard kind of player. Very, very talented. Has a great frame. Could probably put on, you know, 10 more pounds and just be like a real solid player as far as the size measurables. But with all that talent came inconsistency. He's not a great shooter. So while he has an NBA body, he really kind of struggled even in college to score. He's a good finisher, but it's going to be harder to drive into the paint in the NBA. And so he's going to have to develop a jump shot. And if he doesn't develop that jump shot, then pick at 14. I think there's a lot of other places that the Celtics could have gone with that. Grant Williams at 22nd overall pick, a Tennessee power forward. I love this pick. I think he's a great player. I think kind of like Paul Millsaps 2.0. Very, very hard worker. Gets rebounds, does the dirty work, and just makes the team better. So I think that's a solid pick. I really like their first pick of the second round, Carson Edwards out of Purdue, who's a point guard. And if you watched the NCAA tournament this past year, you saw Carson Edwards dominate. Very small point guard, but just a natural scorer. Kind of Damian Lillard-esque. Just gets buckets and... That's a perfect pick for the Celtics, especially with Kyrie Irving leaving. They'll probably be the backup point guard behind Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart. But the next one's kind of interesting. Jamont Waters, point guard out of LSU. I love this player. I'm not sure about the pick as far as the Celtics picking him, just because Carson Edwards and Tremont Waters are both undersized point guards. Tremont Waters is more of a playmaking, pass first, quick, point guard, and Carson Edwards is more of a scoring point guard. So they're different in that respect, but they're both undersized. So I think you definitely can't play them at the same time because there'd be defensive liabilities. So it's just kind of interesting that they picked both of those in the same draft. But I do like both of those players a lot. Okay, Charlotte is next. Charlotte is mediocre, as Charlotte is always mediocre. They drafted P.J. Washington with the 12th overall pick. And while I'm a big P.J. Washington fan, he's out of Kentucky. He's a power forward, 6'8", 230. He's, you know, good rebounder, good scorer for the most part, but I'm just not sold that he has what it takes to do that at the NBA level. Ideally, you'd want to see him be like a John Collins, is what P.J. Washington is, of the Atlanta Hawks, and he was a stud this past year. But I don't see him, you know, turning into that. And he had some injury trouble in college that, you know, might have scared some teams away from him. But just kind of an underwhelming pick. He'll probably be a solid pro, but at the 12th pick, I think, there was something else they could have done there. And then the rest of their second round was pretty lackluster. Nobody that I think is going to make an immediate impact in the NBA or even a sizable impact in the future. Chicago had the 7th overall, and they drafted Coby White. Very interesting dude. Also very interesting player. Good natural scorer. Really great for the college game. I'm not sure... He's going to have to develop a little more consistency, I think, to be a solid NBA player. But I guess he, probably fits the kind of up-tempo that the Bulls are trying to do. I think they have Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine. So I could definitely see him fitting well into that team. But I just don't know if 7 seems a little high. I probably would have waited till like the teens or something and traded back maybe a little bit. But they wanted their man, and they got him. I just don't know if he has the consistency to be a stud at the next level. Moving on, Cleveland. I do really like what Cleveland did with this draft. Darius Garland was their pick at 5, as if you read my blog or if you've seen my Twitter, my tweets lately, I'm a big Darius Garland fan, and also kind of a Damian Lillard-esque player, a little more lanky than Damian Lillard, but he's a great scorer, knows how to create his own shot, knows how to play make, struggles on the defensive end, and is kind of lanky, so he's going to get pushed around, definitely. He has to grow into his body a little bit more, but one of my favorite players in the whole entire draft. I think his ceiling is probably the only person who has a higher ceiling. I'd argue his ceiling's even higher than Jaws, but it's similar to Ja Morant's, and just, you know, probably under Zion's ceiling. So that's how highly I think of Darius Garland. I think he could be really good. I'm not sure how he fits with Colin Sexton. They're kind of different point guards. Colin Sexton is a more of a bulldog, get after it, hustle point guard, and Darius Garland's more of a finesse point guard. So I guess in that respect, they kind of fit with each other, but we'll see how it plays out. I think that was a really solid pick at five. A lot of people were thinking he was going to go four, maybe even three. So getting him at five is great. They had the 26th overall pick in the first round, Dylan Windler out of Belmont. Belmont's a mid-major, but always really good and has produced some good players. But Dylan Windler's a stud and someone I was hoping, you know, would fall into the second round, that the Lakers could scoop him up. But 6'9", lefty with a great shot. I don't think he's been playing basketball for too long, maybe, you know, since like middle of high school. Like, he's not one of those people that's played basketball his whole life, so he's just kind of naturally athletic and just gets the job done. It's just super fun to watch. I think that's a great pick for the Cleveland Cavaliers. It adds shooting to surround, you know, what they kind of lacked last year. And then Kevin Porter Jr., the last pick of the first round out of USC. Shout out to Kevin Porter Jr. Great that we got a first round draft pick out. And I'm not sure how he, like, if I would have picked a different landing location for him, I think it would have been better for like a Spurs or a Bucks to, with kind of a system that develops players, for him. Cause he's definitely raw and definitely, struggles with decision making. So I think he could have benefited with like a veteran coach. And the Cleveland Cavaliers are kind of in a rebuilding process, so I'm not sure that was the best place to land for him. But him at 30 is a great steal for the draft. One of the better ISO players in the whole entire draft. I think his shot is better than what people think it is. It's just basically his shot selection that I think needs to be, you know, really taken a look at. And I honestly think he's a better driver than people give him credit for, just because he doesn't really choose to drive, which I think is a mistake on his part, because he's a real big body and strong and a high flyer, and I think he just needs to not rely on his jump shot as much as he did in college. He models his game after James Harden, and I definitely see a lot of James Harden in him, and that's not just because he's a lefty, but the scoring, he finds a way to score, and I think he can be a really good pro player, but he just needs the right coaching in the right scenario. Okay, next, Dallas. Dallas has no picks in the NBA draft. Denver picked Bol Bol with the, 44th overall pick. A lot of Laker fans were asking the Lakers to buy a pick and take Bol Bol. I'm, for one, am glad they didn't. I asked you to tune in to check out why, and I will explain. He has all the talent in the world, 7'3", has really good handles, has an amazing shot for that size. The ideal stretch five, I guess, in today's NBA, but his injury concerns just completely turned me off. And a lot of times when people that tall, that freakishly tall, especially with the weight that he has, no weight right now, it's 208 pounds at 7'3", that's super skinny. One, he's going to get pushed around, and two, if his reoccurring foot injury that he had continues, who knows if he ever even contributes meaningful minutes in the NBA. I mean, you saw Joel Embiid for the first 3 years of his career basically do nothing. He played 25 games or so. And it was, I think we're even lucky that we're seeing Joel Embiid at peak performance now. He could have, you know, not played at all if that foot injury went wrong. And foot injuries with these big players can really turn into an issue. So that's why I was stay as far away from Bol Bol as possible. And also, just, I don't think he's ready right now, like, at all. I think it's going to be three years before he's ready, and we don't have 3 years to wait. We have to win now. With AD and LeBron, our gap is the next 2-3 years. So while Bol Bol, if everything worked out perfectly, he would be perfect for the Lakers, but it's just a lot to bank on, and I'm just not feeling that, to be honest with you. Okay, next, Detroit. Detroit didn't do much. They did have one guy first off, their first round draft pick was a guy out of France, Sekou Doumbouya. Really, like 6'9", 210, power forward that can shoot. So ideally, it sounds great. He's from the EuroLeague, so you don't know how it translates always, but I think it's a pretty solid pick in the middle of the first round. A lot of upside with this guy. And he's definitely improved from what I've heard, his three-point shot, which is huge. If you can get a 6'9 guy that shoots the three-pointer super well and is athletic, that's great. But their last pick is the one I wanted to talk about, the 57th overall Jordan Bone out of Tennessee, a point guard. I loved him in college. I thought he was a great player, a leader, very athletic. I guess he tested really well at the combine. Really good three-point shooter, so like a good scoring guard that the Lakers could have used, I think. He had shooting, he had the ball handler, and whatever it takes to not re-sign Rajon Rondo onto the team. So, but he got drafted, so the Lakers are going to have to either sign another veteran or a minimum contract to fill that spot, because I really hope we don't re-sign Rondo. I don't think we can, to be honest with you. I think he's too much money. Thank God. Okay, we'll go next is the Golden State Warriors. They had an interesting pick in the end of the first round. I didn't really like it. Jordan Poole out of Michigan, shooting guard, 6'6". Really, really good shooter and kind of a streaky shooter. So if he's on, he's really on and has a lot of swagger to his game. And definitely, if anybody can take a chance on a shooter like that, it's Golden State. They know how to work with those streaky shooters. But it's just, I think he's more of a second-round talent, to be honest. I think you could have probably got him later on. I don't think he was going to go, but I don't know where the other picks were. Let's see that the Warriors had. Oh, they had one at 39, so ninth pick in the second round. I think they could have got Jordan Poole there if they really wanted him. But they also got one, the 11th pick in the second round, Eric Paschal out of Villanova power forward. I think this was a fantastic pick that fits the Warriors very well. And if you wanted a kind of comparison, think Draymond Green, but like not annoying and way better offensively than Draymond Green. Definitely not as good defensively, although he is a good defender and very athletic. So he kind of makes up for his maybe lack of technique with his just sheer athleticism. Jumps out of the building, and I think it's just a fantastic pick for the 41st overall. That's a great value for the Warriors, and he could be really good. I think he's basically what Jordan Bell was, but like, again, like better offensively by like a mile than Jordan Bell was. Okay, Rockets. Rockets had no picks in this draft, and they have a fat CP3 contract that nobody wants in the league. I think they'd said that they were trying to give people Chris Paul for free, and they wouldn't take him. So it's not what you want if you're a Houston Rockets fan. I think their chance to win was the last 2 years, and unfortunately, they weren't able to do it. Well, unfortunately or fortunately, it depends on if you like James Harden and Chris Paul, which I'm not a huge fan of either one of those. The Pacers drafted a center from Georgia, not the state Georgia, the country Georgia. And big dude, 6'11", 251. I've heard a lot of good things about him. The only thing that I do have that's worrisome to me is that his role model or his idol in basketball is Zaza Pachulia. Excuse me. And if your role model or basketball idol is Zaza Pachulia, then you have a lot of issues that I would consider taking care of, and basically just questionable decision making on your part. From what all I heard is he's a good basketball player. I just wonder that Miles Turner also is the center for the Indiana Pacers and a really good center. So it kind of seems like they're kind of filling the same role. I don't know, maybe he's a backup to Miles Turner, but maybe that means that they're going to trade one of the big men in Indiana. The Clippers. Unfortunately, I really like the Clippers draft, and I guess that makes sense because Jerry West really does know what he's doing over there, knows how to build a team, and definitely knows how to draft. They got a center / power forward / small forward out of Florida State, Miafundu Kamengele. I watched him a lot play this past year just because he always playing like Duke and in the ACC, and he just is a stud, really hard worker, big dude, very athletic, really good shooter for his size, and I just think it's a steal for that pick. I would have seen him as more of a top 15, top 17 kind of pick, but they got him 27th overall, which is just an absolute steal. Clippers did a good job there, and then their second round pick I actually really liked a lot too, Terrence Mann, also out of Florida State, a small forward, not a great offensive guy, but super good defensive player, super good hustle guy, and makes his team better in every single way. It always seems to come up with the clutch play at the end of the game. Even though he's not known for his offense, he always seems to come up with that big bucket at the end of the game. Uses his athleticism to his benefit very well. Okay, next we'll go to Memphis, and I actually really liked what Memphis did this draft. They only had two picks in the first round, but one, the first, their second overall pick, John Morant out of Murray State, the point guard. One of the best playmakers I've seen in college. I can't even remember when. Just very, very fun to watch. Very athletic, explosive jumper. Good dunker. Pretty good shooter, actually. His decision-making, while his ability to make plays is great, his decision-making kind of lacks. I think he led the league, the NCAA in turnovers. So while he tries to make those fancy plays, he also turns the ball over a lot, which can be a problem. So if they can kind of tune that down, then he's going to be a spectacular pro and really fun to watch. And a great replacement for Mike Conley, who was just traded from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Utah Jazz. And then Memphis's other first-round pick, 21st overall, Brandon Clark out of Gonzaga. Loved this pick. He's a power forward, but kind of a small power forward, but he jumps out of the building. He's really good defensively, great rebounder, and really good around the rim. He kind of lacks his ability to score unless he's like a couple feet away from the basket, which a lot of teams I think were kind of turned off from, but he's a hustle player and just a really, really good player that could run the pick and roll with Ja. And you can see a lot of alley-oops between the two in the future. Okay, next is Miami. I like Miami's first pick, 13th overall, Tyler Herro out of Kentucky. Shooting guard / point guard, so he can handle the ball, but also one of probably the best pure shooter in the draft, maybe besides Kyle Guy. He can shoot free throws, shoot three-pointers, and he's really young too, just freshman out of Kentucky. So you know he's well-coached, but also has a lot of room to grow. And the Heat, I mean, I don't know if the Heat's where you want to go to grow, but this is a really solid pick, and they can definitely build around him in the future. And then they also drafted in the second round with the 32nd overall pick, KZ Akpala out of Stanford, small forward, really, really raw, but super talented kid. I remember he, you know, shredded us a couple times as USC Trojans. But really happy to see that he kind of carved his way into the draft, and I think he'll be a really good pro. As long as he just gets the proper coaching, his shooting is vastly improved, and he's extremely athletic and long, and can be a really good player, I think. Milwaukee had no picks, and then Minnesota, I feel like, is a dumpster fire of an organization. They always seem to make the wrong decision, whether that be, you know, re-signing Andrew Wiggins to a massive contract or just drafting. It's just been kind of a wreck the past, I don't know, 10 years or so. Ever since KG left that organization, it's just been kind of in shambles. But they did draft Jarrett Culver at 6 overall, which I think is a really good value. I think he's while he struggles a little bit offensively, with a consistent 3-point shot or even just a consistent jumper, he's good at getting to the rim, makes a really good playmaker, and an exceptionally good defender. Basically, just one of those guys that are going to fill out the stat sheet, and the plus minus is going to be super high basically every time he plays, just because he makes everybody around him better. But yeah, 6 overall, I wouldn't have been shocked if he went 5th or 4th or even, nah, probably not 3rd, but 4th or 5th was definitely in the realm of consideration. Jarrett Culver's a really good player, and excited to see what he does in the NBA. And then Jalen Noel is a shooting guard out of Washington, shredded USC time and time again this past year, and I think 43rd overall, that's a really good value for the Timberwolves. He's a good scorer, and kind of, I think his athleticism leaves a little bit to be desired, but he's for middle of the second round, getting that kind of score and maturity is really good. Now the Pelicans. I really liked a lot of what the Pelicans did. Sadly, it could have been nothing if they didn't get the first overall pick, because then we wouldn't have traded them the 4th pick. It basically, a lot of dominoes had to fall for the Pelicans to be where they are, I think. But I really like, obviously, Zion's just going to be a stud, one of the most polarizing prospects in a good way since LeBron James. And then you have, at 8, Jackson Hayes. I think a lot of people didn't think he was worth a top 10 pick, but I think combining him with Lonzo and the kind of the high-flying offense, I think that the New Orleans Pelicans are going to have this upcoming year. I think that's a perfect person to run a pick-and-roll with Lonzo, and you'll see a lot of alley-oops to him. And then Nickeil Alexander-Walker, out of Virginia Tech, shooting guard, cousin, I believe, of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Clippers, who had a breakout year this past year. So if he's anything like his cousin, then this is a really solid pick. A young guy, and I think he can kind of grow into be a 3-and-D kind of player. That's about it for the Pelicans, but I just really enjoyed it. I think that it was just kind of a well-structured draft, and David Griffin's a really good executive, and he's making a lot of good moves over there in New Orleans. Okay, New York is next. RJ Barrett. I don't really know how I feel about RJ Barrett. Obviously, he's immensely talented. I just don't think his decision making's up to par. And I think while it's good to have that mentality that you're a star player, I think he misses a lot of open people, or he makes a lot of bad decisions, and that kind of just decreases his efficiency as a player. I think if he had a smarter basketball IQ, he could be a really good player. I think this is probably, I would have considered taking Darius Garland at three, but I'm not surprised that they went for the kind of obvious pick in RJ Barrett. I definitely can't go wrong with him, but I don't know if he's going to be the superstar that everybody kind of thinks he's going to be. Kyle Guy, I really like that pick, 55 overall out of Virginia, point guard, you know, hero of the national championship Virginia Cavaliers, probably one of the better pure shooters in the draft, kind of a point guard shooting guard, but super good at catching and shooting. He can also create his own shot, good ball handler as well, gets rebounds. He's just kind of another glue guy that can make his teams better, but also, you know, fill that need for a three-point shooter that a lot of teams really need, especially the Lakers. Darius Bazley for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't know too much about him. I just know that he didn't go to college, but he, like, took a year off and then entered the draft. So that's kind of a new thing that people are doing nowadays. It seemed to work for him. He got drafted in the first round, and I don't know too much about his game, but 6'9", 208, has a lot of size. Probably can gain a little bit of weight. Might be a good player. Orlando is next, and this is actually a pick that I really liked. Chuma Okeke out of Okiki. I think it's Chuma Okiki out of Auburn, power forward. Really played a great SEC tournament, great NCAA tournament until he tore his ACL. 6'7", 233. Great shooter, very athletic, just very skilled. Could be the steal of the draft, even though he's not going to play this year. But I think he's top 10 talent, and they got him at 16. And I know the Magic are rebuilding and whatnot, so pretty solid pick from my opinion. 76ers, Matisse Thybulle at pick 20. I think that's a pretty solid pick. While he doesn't have a lot of offense to offer, his defense is probably the best. He's probably the best defender in the draft. He's an elite defender already. I think he averaged something like 4 steals a game in the Pac-12. Which is just ridiculous, and he's super long, super athletic, and jumps really high, so basically anything you can want from a defender. 6'6", 201, can guard probably even power forwards, but going to probably guard the best scorer on the other team, so be that lockdown defender. So I think that's a great pick for the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's see, who else did they pick? The second round picks don't really pass the bar, or pass the test for me. Nothing too out of the ordinary. Phoenix Suns with an interesting pick of Cam Johnson at 11 overall, North Carolina. Went to North Carolina, power forward. Really good shooter, and I like Cameron Johnson a lot as a player, but I'm not sure that he's worth the 11th overall pick. I think a lot of people are saying he was even a second rounder, maybe late first rounder. So I think they kind of reached here, and they probably could have traded back and accumulated some other picks if they really wanted Cam Johnson. They could have probably got him later. But yeah, that's the Phoenix Suns, so it's not surprising they make a weird, probably dumb decision. It's just how it works with Phoenix Suns. They chose Ty Jerome, also from the national championship winning Virginia Cavaliers, shooting guard. Love him as a collegiate player. I'm not sure how his skills are going to translate to the pros. I think he's probably going to be a good pro, but I think his lack of athleticism might hurt him a little bit, especially in defending other players. Just, I think they could probably blow by him, but he's super good playmaker, creates his own shot, great shooter, so he'll find his niche in the NBA, and I think he'll be a successful pro. Okay, Portland's next. They drafted Nasir Little at 25. I think this is actually a really good pick. A lot of people were saying he's a, you know, top 15, maybe even a lottery pick. So I think Portland valued him as a lottery pick, and they got him 10 picks later at 25, so they're super happy. I think the problem with him is he's a little undersized at 6'6", 224. Played sparingly at North Carolina, even though he was an elite recruit. He only played like 15, 16 minutes a game, and that kind of has to worry you too. Lacks the shooting ability, lacks the size a little bit, but a hardworking guy, and I think if he can get the right coaching and develop the shot, then he'd be a solid player. That's it for the Trailblazers. The Spurs. I don't know too much about the first rounder, but he's a European that I'm sure Popovich is going to make into the next Manu Ginobili. So or power forward. So I don't know who's the European power forward. Kristaps, probably the next Kristaps Porzingis that Pop's going to create. But I usually just trust him. But I really like their 29th overall first round selection small forward out of Kentucky named Keldon Johnson. I was actually kind of hoping he would drop to the Lakers in the second round if they were to buy a pick in the second round. I think he's a really good shooter, just good athlete, good size, good, pretty much good at everything, and has the ability, I think, to even get better. That's a steal, I think, in the late first round. Sacramento Kings are next. They had an interesting draft. I didn't really like any of their second round picks. They did Ziggy Brzezinkis in the second round, power forward out of Michigan. Very talented player, but kind of undersized, and I think his game is just not, I don't see him being really super successful in the NBA. Because he's basically like in between a power forward and a small forward, and I just don't think he's really good at either one of those. So unless he really develops his shot into like a knockdown shooter, his athleticism or lack thereof is probably going to hurt him in the next level. Justin James was their other second round pick. He was out of Wyoming, so I don't know too much about him. I know he's pretty athletic. I know he's a pretty good shooter, so like ideally that sounds perfect, but also played at Wyoming, so his competition was not as high. But I do remember him playing USC, I think, a couple years ago, and he did pretty well. So it's nice to see someone from Wyoming get drafted. Last person, I think, was Larry Nance. And he turned out pretty well, so I guess might not be a bad pick. Toronto has they drafted a center out of Miami that I've never heard of before, and I don't really think it's going to matter at all because I think they're going to re-sign Kawhi Leonard. At least I hope they re-sign Kawhi Leonard. If he's not going to come to the Lakers, of course, but I don't think he's coming to the Lakers. So, but either way, I don't think this pick matters. I don't think this is he's ever going to contribute any meaningful minutes to the Toronto Raptors organization. So as harsh as that sounds, I think this was kind of just a stash kind of draft for the Toronto Raptors. They won their ship. So I think they're pretty happy. Utah, really not too flashy of a draft. They just had a bunch of second rounders. They had one guy out of Hofstra as a point guard. I guess he averaged like 28 points a game, which is pretty good. Division one, I know it's Hofstra, but it's still pretty hard to score 28 points a game. So I guess they got a scorer off the bench, and Quinn Snyder of the Jazz knows how to develop players pretty well. So yeah, I'm sure I'll fit right in. And then they had a kid named Mie Oni out of Yale. So it's cool to see that someone out of Yale got drafted. I watched him a couple times, and his athleticism is off the charts. So if you ever want to just go on YouTube and watch his highlight film, pretty ridiculous. Guy jumps out of the building and fun to watch. So hopefully he has a good career, and that's probably the perfect place for him in Utah. This is the last one. Oh, thank God. And then we have the Lakers to talk about. Okay, so Washington. The Rui Hachimura pick at number 9 overall. He's a power forward out of Gonzaga and one of my favorite players last year in college. I'm just not sure how he translates to the pro level. He's not a super great shooter. He's a good free throw shooter, but not like a three-point shooter. He kind of does mid-range in the post game, and his defense is kind of like iffy. So I think while he's a really good player, I think I would have seen him more in the teens than in a top 10 pick. But I think he's a hard worker. He kind of one of those guys that, again, makes his team better. So probably not a bad pick, but I don't think you're going to get like a high ceiling out of Rui Hachimura. But first Japanese player to be drafted in the NBA, so that's pretty cool. But I did really like their second-round pick, the Washington second-round pick in Admiral Schofield. I was hoping the Lakers were going to draft him. He's a great small forward out of Tennessee, big, big guy. Shoots the three-point shot well, defends well, really high character. I mean, just would have been a perfect fit for the Lakers this year. So really bummed that he didn't drop to them, but such is life. Anyway, so that's a perfect segue to the Lakers. I talked a little bit about why Bol Bol shouldn't have gone to the Lakers, but I should talk about who they ended up drafting or they traded for. They traded, I think, with the Magic for like the 46th pick. And his name is, I think it's Talen Horton-Tucker. That's correct. I don't want to mistake his name. Talen Horton-Tucker. The really cool thing about this guy is, well, there's a lot of interesting things about this guy, but I first off, I like the pick. I'll just start with that. But he's 6'4", which is pretty short for a shooting guard, but he's also 240 pounds, which is extremely thick for a shooting guard. So he's just this kind of short, pudgy guy. But his arms are, like, insanely long. He has, like, a 7'2" wingspan. His hands are, like, the size of Kawhi Leonard. So this guy just has, like, a bunch of weird characteristics all put into one. But he just knows how to play basketball. Like, he's a little bit raw, but he's just a basketball player. So I think as long as you teach him how to make it with his decision-making, I think he would be a really valuable pick for the Lakers. Do I see him contributing right away? Probably not, unless his three-point shot develops really quickly. But I don't know. I don't really see that happening. And the really cool thing, though, is that he's only 18 years old. So he still has a lot of room to grow, maybe not physically. I think his best bet is shedding some weight and adding some muscle. But as far as just learning the game of basketball, he's super young. So that as long as the Lakers can develop him, which we've done a decent job of developing the youngsters the past couple years, I think he'll be able to contribute. Maybe not this year, but definitely next year. Okay, well, I think that's it. I guess just go to shoutouts, and then we'll wrap up the podcast. First shoutouts, Dodgers. They just won. I'm recording this at like midnight right now, but they won a couple, like an hour ago or so. They were up like 9-4 in the bottom of the ninth, and they're top of the ninth, and they almost choked away the game. But they're doing well this year. I think if they can add some good bullpen pieces at the deadline, maybe one bat, they have to be the favorite to win the World Series this year. And I know we've been there the last couple of years, but I think, you know, third time's a charm, and we have what it takes this year, especially with Cody Bellinger kind of reaching that elite status. And if Corey Seager also, you know, reaches that silver slugger status, as long as he stays healthy, then we're going to be really tough to beat in the playoffs. See, shout out to USC football. You know, kind of surprising. They kind of look like they know what they're doing, and I'm not sure what it is. It just seems kind of like a change in mentality, a change in kind of philosophy. People just seem to be buying into the philosophy that, I don't know if it's Clay Helton's philosophy, if it's the strength coach philosophy. Maybe they just like each other and they're tired of losing. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I like what I'm seeing, and hopefully it translates to on-the-field success. We all know that as long as Clay Helton is the coach of the team, our ceiling is severely limited, but I think the ceiling probably is like a Rose Bowl kind of thing, and that's just because of the sheer talent of USC. And you know, if JT Daniels can step up and be half of what Sam Darnold was, then I think we'll be in good shape. Last shout out, I guess, would be golf. Shout out to Tiger. I know it's been a while, but him winning the Masters was one of the coolest experiences of my life. Always been a huge Tiger fan, and just what he's doing for the game of golf is just fantastic in every way. But also the Travelers Championship this weekend is kind of the coming out party for a lot of the new college players that are turned professional, whether that be, Justin Suh from USC, who's one of my favorite USC golfers, just carrying the team on his back this past year and just never complained and put in a real good effort every time he went out on the course. Victor Hovland out of Oklahoma State, Matthew Wolf, I guess friend of the program since he's friends with Joey, probably the most talked about player to come out of college since Jordan Spieth. He's that talented, that good, and I see him having a lot of success in the future. Really cool to see someone kind of from our local area succeeding on that high of a level this quickly. I think he's only around 20 years old. So just seeing what he's been able to do is pretty incredible. So yeah, that's it. I don't know really what else to talk about. I hope everything sounded good. This is actually, if you believe it or not, I redid this whole podcast just because it sounded so bad. I'm like, if I'm going to do one podcast, I better make it sound good. So I redid it for you guys, whoever's listening. Thank you for listening. I'm sure there's some people that, you know, stop listening after my year long hiatus, but I appreciate all you that say, oh, can't wait to hear the next podcast whenever you do it. That means a lot. I have a lot of fun doing it. It takes a lot of time, but you know, if I did have the time, I would love to continue to do this. And hopefully USC gives me something to podcast about if I decide to podcast maybe intermittently throughout, the fall. As long as school permits it. But yeah, thank you everybody for listening, and good night or good morning since it's 12:30. Have a good one.